It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Habakkuk. Right. Amen.
So he's just going to be retired.
All righty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this evening. Now, Father, we thank you for each and every one that come out tonight. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that each one of us that here tonight, Father, that we will open our hearts and open our ears to the understanding and where we can hear your voice tonight. Father, that would teach us some things tonight that we haven't seen before, haven't heard before. And Lord, we just want to thank you. And Father, most of all, God, we just want to thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your shed blood that was done there that day. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Father, for keeping me. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Here over here in the book of Habakkuk chapter 3. Which is a short book. And it's not but really two or three verses here that I'm gonna read. But as I'm reading it, we must understand it that not only is Habakkuk learning also, and he's learning some things from the Lord, and even what's going on in the day that Habakkuk was in, and the things that he was having to see happen, that he just still went on to give God the glory, still went on to give God thanks for everything that he's done for him. And you know, that's what we ought to do. We're going to face troubles and we're going to face problems. But you know something, but we don't have to face it alone. We don't have to just say, well, Lord, I just don't know if I can go through it. If we say that, then we're saying, Lord, we're not really walking with you. Because if we are sincere with God, and if we are doing God's what God has asked us to do, we will, first of all, we will give God thanks and the glory for whatever he does. And for wherever he wants us to go, he's going to be ahead of us. And he's going to be there for us. And, you know, just like I've said before, time and time again, yes, we're going to have roadblocks in the way. Why? Because we're doing something for the Lord. The devil's not going to allow it to be easy for us to do anything for the Lord. He's going to make it hard on us. But if we continue to follow the Lord, the Lord would make it easier for us. And here in chapter 3, in verses 17 through 19, I'm going to back up. I'm going to start with up there in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, though the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit tree be in thy vine. The labor of the olive shall fail. The flock and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and thou shalt be no herbs in the stalls, no herbs in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind to my high places, to the chief singers on my string instruments." We see right here where he was facing some troubles. Troubles was all around him. And if you think that we're going to go through the rest of this life without no problems, without no troubles, without no heartaches, you might ought to check up. Because the heartaches has just come. They've just come, and we haven't faced them yet. But we will face them. And I hear today, everywhere I go, I hear people talking about, what are we going to do after the election? What are we going to do after the election? What are we going to do if Hillary Clinton gets it? What are we going to do if Trump gets it? What do we do? We're going to continue to go on. We're going to continue to serve God in the way that we are serving him now. I know that there's one party that really wants to, basically what they want to do, they want to close the church up. But the other party wants to give the church more legal standings. He wants to give the church a place where they can speak in a pulpit, that they can preach about what's going on. They can bring up the parties. They can bring up the sin that the people are committing, and we won't be held accountable for it. But now we're held accountable for it, because if they want to, they can come in and they can just say, "Well, what you've been doing, we're going to take your tax status away from you." Some churches, that would hurt. Some of these larger churches, it would hurt. But we must remember As far as a Christian is concerned, nothing should change. We should not be afraid of what's going to happen, because God is still in control. It's nothing that's going to bring any kind of surprise to God. God's not going to be surprised at what goes on. God's not going to be surprised at what me and you do. God knows exactly what we're going to do. And God wants us to stay with Him. But we can see also where it speaks over in chapter 2. It talks about the violence that went on. The violence that went on in Lebanon. Shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beast, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. We see violence today on every hand. Violence is in the street. We don't know who we can go out here and who we can fellowship with anymore, because the devil has got a hold of their individuals' hearts. We don't know what they're liable to do. But the only thing that we can do is trust God. I've heard of a preacher friend that I met up in Mount Airy, North Carolina, the Low Mountain Baptist Church, about 6-7 years ago. Me and Brother James, we went up there to a camp meeting or jubilee, which you want to call it at that time. And while we was there, we went to the morning service, and then after the morning service, they had eating there in the fellowship hall. They fed all the preachers, everybody that come, he fed them. Didn't cost them a dime. And me and Brother James, we had an opportunity to sit down and to talk to some preachers that we didn't know anything about. But it was one elderly preacher. I don't know how old he was. I'm scared to say. But I know he had some years on him, and he'd been preaching a long time. He said, "Preachers, I'm going to let you know in a little secret. You think it's tough now. You think it's got to the point to where the church is struggling now. Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Nowhere in God's word is going to tell us that it gets any better. Because the better days are behind us. Them days are gone before us. But now, we're at the door. We're right at the brink of going home. And the Lord, He is standing outside of the door. He's standing outside of the heart's door. And He's standing outside of the door that goes in to the church, which the church is me and you, the saved. But not only that, I believe God, and I believe the Lord Jesus, is standing outside of the doors of a whole lot of churches. Let me in. Let me in. They just keep on going with their own little thing. They wouldn't let Him in if a fire had started out. And he said, if you just let me in, I can put out the fire. If you let me in, I can heal the people. No, they don't want to let him in. Why? Because it means that they're going to have to give up something. That they're going to have to change the way that they've been walking. They're going to have to change the desires that they have in their heart. People today not willing to change. They're not willing to put the Lord first. And they're not willing to go out and talk to people. If we don't talk to people and tell them about the Lord and how the Lord can save their soul, how are they going to ever get to heaven? I say this. We have more people that's in church today that I believe that's in all the services. They're sitting down. And they just as lost as they can be. Why? Because they will not allow the Holy Spirit to touch their heart. We need to let people know in whom we serve. We don't need to just get up here and preach it. We don't need to get up here and just listen about it. We don't need to just get up here and sing about it. We need to go out and tell people about it. We come into God's house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're not going. We don't come into church to tell people. We go out into the world to tell people. And to let them know that yes, there's a Savior. Not only a Savior, but there's a church with people in that church that loves you. And we have got to show that kind of love. We've got to show the kind of love that Jesus showed on us. If we're not willing to show that kind of love, then how we expect for the church to grow? And I know that we're not supposed to really just focus on this one little building right here. We're not supposed to focus on just this right here and getting people in the house of God right here and get them saved. No, what we need to focus on, we need to put our focus in the true God. We need to put our focus on the kingdom of God. Because see, after it's all said and done, we gone. When we leave this earth, what's going to happen? This building's still going to be here. The pews are still going to be here. The wires are still going to be here. The lights is still going to be here. It's going to probably be here just like it is. Then Satan's going to come in with his individual, and yes, and they may do some repairs. They may have a parking lot paved. They may have it built and painted. They may be even enlarge the building. See, the devil can do all little things better than, well, no, he can't do it as good as God, but he can do it. Why? Because he's got the people. It's not over there in Luke, it's not speaking about the rich man. It's not the rich man that God was condemning. It wasn't his riches. And it wasn't the man that he was condemning. He was condemning the man because the lust that he had in his heart for the money. We can still have the same kind of lust that he had. We can have lust in the heart over that dollar bill. Did you realize something? God don't have to give us that dollar bill next month. Next month, we don't have to get to the point to where yes, we're going to have a little extra left out of our paycheck. Yes, we're going to have a little extra. See, God don't have to allow that. But you know the reason God does allow it? Is because of our faithfulness to Him. To our faithfulness to God. I have come to find out that I need less today than I ever have before in my life. Why? Because I put all of my trust in Him. And I mean, I don't want you to look at me and say, you're by saying you don't make mistakes. Oh, yes, I do. I make mistakes every day. I sin against Him every day. But every day I have to ask Him to forgive me. But Habakkuk, he just praised the Lord. He says, I just want to give you the praise. I just want you to, I want to thank you for being with me through the times and through the troubles that I've been through. And what he's saying is basically, he says, Lord, I know that you didn't have to be with me. And he don't. He does not have no obligation to be with us each and every moment of every day. He's not obligated to. But he is obligated to what he first told us when he first loved us. That's the reason the obligation is still there, is because of his love. It's because of the leadership that he wants us to be. He wants us to come forward and do. And be like what Paul was. And what so many other people are today. Just think about it. Just think about Brother C.T. Townsend. If he'd have just went down there to New Hope Baptist Church and Randy Hobbs, the pastor, if he'd have just went down there and he just prayed and he just went on there and preached a message, it'd have went 1 week. I don't know the preacher. I don't know the evangelist. I don't know. I just heard of him and I've heard him preach. But I believe I can say this. That he was not worried about himself. He wasn't worried about people coming up and patting him on the back. And saying, preach, that's a good message. Saying, preach, I'm praying for you. Now, he didn't want the praise. He didn't want the glory and the honor. The only thing he wanted to do, he wanted to give God all the praise and all the glory. Because he knows what Jesus Christ went through for him. So he was just going through a part of it. For the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a preacher yesterday. And I said, you know, coming down to thinking about it and everything, I said, humanly speaking, in the flesh that we have, and yes, each and every one of us, we have this thing that we call flesh that is hanging on these bones. But we know that flesh is not saved. It's lost. But we know that the inner man, if you've ever asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, and asked him to come into your heart, then the inner man is saved. But he knew, I believe Brother C.T. Towns knew, that if he give in to the flesh one moment, that he had a weak thing. But see, I mean, the first message that he brought down there, I didn't go, but I heard about it. Somebody else went down there. And says, you know something? There's nothing fancy about him. There's nothing fancy about his preaching. He just preached God's word. He just told people what God said in the Bible about them. He spoke about the drunkard. He spoke about the harlots. He spoke about the ones that are sleeping around. He spoke about over there in the Old Testament where they slept. I mean, it didn't make no difference if it was family or what. But he told them all about all of that. Some things that I know probably people have never heard. But see, today, if you go into a church, and if you happen to get up there and preach that message, hey, you won't be invited back. I wouldn't be invited back. But see, he didn't care. He just telling them what God wanted him to tell them. And then it grew. Then it grew. They went over right at 1,000 people down at New Hope Baptist Church. Then they had to get out. They had to go and find them another place. Why? Because they had a fireman in there. And this fireman, he went up to him after the service. And he said something to Brother Randy. He said, Brother Randy, it's been a great meeting. He said, but I want to give you some advice. And he said, it's not that I'm putting any of this down. If it was up to me, I wouldn't care. I said, but if your fire marshal happened to hear about it, how many people was in here? He would come and say, you can't have it in any church no more. He says, if you do, you won't be able to have another service in here. And Randy Hobbs told the individual, the inspector, told him, he said, I appreciate what you just said and what you told me. He said, you know, and this is what he told the fireman that goes around and checks all the buildings and everything, the exit signs and all of that, fire extinguishers and everything. And all he had to do was just say, well, we're going to have clothes. And that was it. There wouldn't have been no discussion about it. But Randy Hobbs said this. He said, I appreciate what you said. He says, you didn't say it in no hateful way. You didn't say it in a hateful spirit. You wanted to continue on. And he says, you know something? Me and Brother C.T. Townsend and some other men in the church, we've been praying about this. We've been praying about keep it going. Brother C.T. Townsend, he wants it to keep going. And he said, first of all, I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God that allowed him to speak to you and to come to me and to tell me what we had to do. You was looking after the safety of the people. That's what we're doing. We're in the same business. He said, I appreciate it. And he asked if the fire marshal asked him, Randy asked the fire marshal, he said, do you know anybody that's got a piece of land large enough where we can put a tent on? He said, well, I'll look around and I'll see. I know some where some land's at. Whether they'll let you borrow it or not, I don't know. And that's when I thought it was the Toyota dealership right there on 501 in Burlington. Called up Randy Hobbs and says, Randy, says, I got a piece of land right beside my business. It's just got the grasses growed up on it. He said, but don't worry about that. He says, I'm going to get out there. I got somebody. I'll get the man, go out there and clean it up. He says, it's yours if you want to use it. And he says, and if you need more parking, you can use some of my lot in the back part. God just took it and weaved it all together. That's just like here, what I just read a little while ago. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will make me to walk upon my mind high places, to the chief singers of my string instruments. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If nothing else, we don't have to even think about what God's going to do for us this week. We don't have to think about that God's going to be with us in the morning when we raise up, when we get up out of the bed. We ain't got to worry about that. We should not have to praise God for that. Who we need to praise God for is for salvation. That we didn't have to do hardly anything to earn it. The only thing we had to do is just trust him. Trust him in a way. A little child can understand it. Just like little Caleb, a little child. Even though, I don't know how old Caleb is, but when he come to ask God to save him, he was that little child. And he was small in stature. But he knew what he was doing. And God says, unless you come as a little child. We can have people that will come and they will come to the church and hear the gospel and be convicted of it. And they can come and walk down to the communion table down here, and they can turn around and they can tell the people, tell me what just happened. That they just got saved. And they can be 75, 80, 90 years old. It don't make no difference. But they had to become a child first. They had to become a child. Thank God that he makes it so simple that we as Christians, we make it so hard. We make it so hard.
But it's so simple. He is so simple. He's a simple Savior. He's a simple Savior. And He has a simple salvation. And He has a simple service for us to do. And He also gives us the simple security that we can put in Him. It's so simple. It's so simple to walk with God. It's so simple to do what God has asked us to do. We just need to get selfified the way. What I need to say, I said, well, Dinah, I'm sorry. You can just go on and do what you want to do, but that inward man's going to do what God wants him to do. And Satan, you can forget about it. Because I claim the blood. And if we say that, if we claim the blood, Satan's on us, attacking us every way. If we claim the blood, you can bet you within the next few moments, Satan's going to leave, because Satan does not like anyone speaking about the blood. Because he knows he ain't got a chance. He knows he ain't got a chance. Thank God we all got a chance to get to heaven. And the only way I can get to heaven is through His simple plan. It's so simple that we make it hard on ourselves. I mean, He has everything right there in front of us. He has everything that I need in front of me. And He's given me the opportunity either to walk towards that and to pick that up and use it for Him, I said, no, that's too hard. You're right, it is. It's too hard for me. I can't do it on my own. I was talking to one boy first part of the week, one afternoon. And I've been talking to him and trying to get him in church. I don't know if your boy was truly saved or not. But I did say this. I says, brother. And I called him brother in respect for him and what he said. And maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I did. He told me, he says, you know, I got some things that's going on in my life. I got some things that's going on in my family that I need to get straightened up, and I need to get straight about it first before I can come to church. I says, well, you just told me that you're not aiming to come to church at all. He said, no, I didn't say that. Oh, I said, oh, yes, you did. And the reason I say you said that is because you said, I have some things I've got to change. You can't change a thing. If you're willing and if you want to come to church, all you have to do is just put that first foot forward. And He will walk with you every way. He will drive you even to the church. I said, don't tell me that you'll come after you get things straight. I said, because you never will. He said, no, 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 don't talk like that now. I said, well, you just told me. And I said, not only you told me, but you told the devil also. And do you think the devil's going to leave you alone? No. The devil's going to get you and your situation more involved in what it is. You need to just step forward. Come to church. Or you need to ask somebody to come and take the Bible and read it to you. And then you come and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that you're willing to repent, you're willing to turn face forward, going back, going the other way. And you get, if you get saved, then God will help you all the way. You won't have to do any of it. They said, well, yeah, Lord, I don't think God wants all of this on me. His son has already done it for you. His son's done it for you. The only thing the Father's asking you to do is just come and bring a blessing to the Lord. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we just ask, Father, that this evening when we leave this building tonight, Father, I know that we'll be dismissed from each other that's here. And Father, I know that we'll be dismissed from the love of each other. But even that, Father, we can never be dismissed, Father, from the love that you have toward us. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'll help us. Father, to do the simple things. Just to do something simple for you. And Father, that people, well, Lord, will look past our faults and look to Jesus. And Father, the ones that's backslid, and I had to, will of God now, I pray. Father, Lord, that you would just go to them right now. That you would touch their hearts. In the only way that you know how. And Father, that you can draw them back to the house of God. And Father, I know that there's some that are saved is not here. But Lord, I do know, Father, also that there are some that we've invited. And Father, yes, we've went to them and we've visited them, Lord, and they're not saved. But they say that they got some things that they need to straighten out first. Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will go and convict their heart and just let them know that it's nothing they can do to change. All they have to do, all Jesus asked them to do is just come to Him. And they won't have to do anything. He will do it for them. He will do all the changes. And Father, when we give up one thing, the Lord's going to replace it with something that's a whole lot better. Lord, we thank you once again. Father, be with us. Look after us this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.